Hey, I'm Mark.
And I'm Liz.
And we are Twin Lights Coaching. Welcome to our ADHD Sanity Break. Today, we're going to be talking about the stigma around ADHD and why we really need to destigmatize, remove the stigma from this very common diagnosis.
First of all, as Mark and I always say, and it's important to know, there's nothing shameful about having attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, otherwise known as ADHD. But for some reason, in our society, people who have the disorder, often somehow people think they're broken or defective, despite the fact that there's ample evidence suggesting that people with ADHD can be just as competent, personable, skilled, gifted, whatever you want to say, as quote unquote, I don't even want to use the word normal, I'm going to say as typical people.
No, and you know what's really important, and we did a podcast about this some time ago, is the number of people who are truly leaders, innovative thinkers across the globe who have ADHD and have really changed society for the better. Thomas Edison,
I'm thinking for my kids are all swimmers, so I go to Michael Phelps, I go to Walt Disney, the Wright brothers. Honestly, it's podcast number four, I think.
I think that's right. But it's important to understand that these children are not broken. And adults who continue to have ADHD in their lives, they're not broken either.
So the question is, can this stigma be avoided? How can children and adults with ADHD avoid being victims of ridicule, discrimination.
Contempt. You know, Liz, maybe a good place to start is just to understand how some of the people view children with ADHD. And this came up again in one of our podcasts. We were talking about preparing for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And that we actually put out a question to our Facebook community. Mm-hmm. And we were told that there were so many people who were being condemned as parents because they were bad parents, or the children were acting out, the children were misbehaving, that the parents were unable to control their children.
Well, and I have to jump in for a second because I know I talk about my oldest a lot. When he was little, there were places that I did avoid because it was embarrassing. I didn't know that he had ADHD until he was about 9 or 10. We knew something was up, but we didn't know what exactly it was. So when I would tell people, oh, we don't go out to dinner as a family because, you know, my child can't sit at the table, I would get looks. Or if I would go out, I came with a bag with so much stuff to do in there that people also thought it was kind of wacky that I just didn't have a kid who could just sit at a table. And let me tell you something, I envied those people who had kids who could sit at the table.
And you know, once you get into the point in their life that they're in grade school, the fact is that teachers aren't always educated about ADHD as well. So they start to believe that your child is lazy, that they're simply not doing the work that's needed, or that they're sloppy. They're not keeping their desk appropriately. So every place that we turn, sometimes family, again, the educational system, there are so many places that this quote-unquote stigma comes and really lands on us.
And I want to just put a shout-out to teachers and say it's not, and oftentimes, their fault. They are not, it's literally not part of the educational program to be a teacher to learn about behavioral disorders. I mean, and if they do touch on it, it's very light. So my greatest wish would be that that is something that would be brought into the school system so teachers can have a better understanding, in particular because ADHD is often, not always, as in the case of my child who was very hyper, it is often a silent disorder. People don't, it's not seen, so therefore people don't think it's a real medical condition.
And, you know, the symptoms can wax or wane. They can come and go. It's not always there in the fruited form in front of your face. They have these ebbs and flows, and sometimes they're much more prevalent and sometimes they're not. So again, this tends to confuse individuals who are not familiar with ADHD.
Well, I'm going to bring you up for a second. One of the things that we always talk about is ADHD has the hyper-focused side to it. So there's the very, there's the non-focused side, which is very real and very hard. But there's also the, I consider this a gift in a sense, a hyper-focus where, so if a teacher sees that a student can hyper-focus on a certain subject or class, they don't understand, or a parent, let's say, even at home, an activity at home, or a relative, they don't understand that there's a hyper-focus because the ADHD child or young adult is really interested in what they're doing. My son used to sit and do Legos for 3 hours at a clip, but if he wasn't doing that, he'd be bouncing all over the house. We'd say, wait a minute, how come you can go up to your room for 3 straight hours, we don't hear from you, and then you come down and it's like Tigger entered the house? It was because he could hyper-focus.
Exactly, exactly. And again, teachers do their best. They're really unsung heroes in our society, but we do have to recognize that they don't get the education they need in everything. And to be honest, nobody can know everything about all aspects of education or anything else. So, but the teachers will not always be able to understand exactly what's going on. Or there are kids who also may have other difficulties where they just say, oh, it's got to be ADHD. So it goes both ways. And essentially what we need is we need to make sure we get the proper health care professionals in to make sure that we have the right diagnosis. But again, we're dealing with the stigma here. Once we have a child that's acting out, who is having difficulties, who has a diagnosis, or you may be pursuing the diagnosis, let's as a society start to look at how we can start to embrace those kids rather than stigmatize them.
Right. Another factor of widespread negative feelings are that there are a lot of psychiatric drugs that people are taking today. And there is definitely a surge in recent years, probably in the last 10 years, of people taking medications for ADHD. And some people think that it's unjustified, that, oh, you know, the second that a child is hyper or maybe struggles in something, oh, they have ADHD. And people seem to think that now people are being over-medicated for something that maybe is just a different kind of problem. So there's another reason why there's a stigma on ADHD.
Clearly. And, you know, this is not the point of this podcast, but just a quick shout out. There's some breaking research that was done at the end of 2018, as far as it's being published, that really showed that treating individuals with ADHD with medications is not only something to just help their focus, but actually, Russell Barkley's work showed that it actually has an impact on survival, on life expectancy. And using the proper medications shifts the life expectancy significantly for these children and young adults. So
another fact that we can talk about as far as the stigma against ADHD is that oftentimes people with ADHD have LDs, learning disabilities, that fall under it. And people think that, oh, if they're a poor student, unfortunately, in our society, I would say in general, if you don't do well in school, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not this, you're not that. Well, the reality of it is they struggle. And it's not that they're not smart, it's that they might have dyslexia. They might not be able to read things the way that a typical person can read. They might have trouble with comprehension or I'm trying to think of other things. Point being is that there may be academic challenges that these students have in the classroom that have nothing to do with whether they're smart or not smart, but yet it's lumped together as another stigma with ADHD. Oh, if you have ADHD, oh, you're hyper or you're stupid. And, you know, I hate to put into those two little short terms, but
again, going back to those individuals that we know have ADHD, mm-hmm. People like John F. Kennedy, people like Thomas Edison, a number of the most incredible entrepreneurs.
Richard Branson, Virgin Airlines.
There you go. The fact is that, you know, it's not a matter of intelligence. And when you look at learning disabilities, each of us, even if we have a, quote, neurotypical ability to learn, we have different ways that we learn better than others. Some are auditory learners. Some are visual learners. Some are more tactile learners. The fact is there's a lot of different ways that we get information into our being, learn it, and then become able to turn that information around and utilize it and put it back into the world. So if we're looking at these children, these young adults, and questioning their intelligence, the fact is, once again, we're just unfounded in that query. We should really be paying attention to understand each child, what they need to do in order to make them successful, to uncork their own particular genius. Because most of these children with ADHD are actually very much above the average or the norm for intelligence.
And I just want to say, anybody who's part of our audience probably doesn't need to understand the pain of what it's like to have or be told about what it's like to have the stigma against ADHD, because you're probably experiencing it as a parent or as a young adult. And what we want to say is the reason we're doing this particular podcast is we just want to say we understand and we know what it's like. And the more that we talk to wider audiences about it, the more that people are going to open up their eyes a little bit more to understand that even though ADHD isn't always something that's in your face, it is something very real. And people who are living with it struggle every day. In particular, girls. And I say that only because girls tend to not have the hyper side. They tend to not be as much in your face about it. Usually girls, typically if they have ADHD, it tends to be a focusing issue. Or they appear spacey. And really what's happening is that the frontal lobe of their brain is actually not allowing them to stay focused. So it looks like they're looking out in space or that they're not staying on task or whatever it may be. And it could appear that they're not intelligent enough to do that, when in reality, their brain is just not letting them do that.
You know, so we have all these different people looking at and, in a sense, questioning, stigmatizing the individual from the outside. As coaches, we understand that we are typically harder on ourselves than we will ever be to someone else. And this is certainly true when it comes to children with ADHD. And there's two sides to that coin. The first side is the self-stigmatization of saying to themselves, I'm actually not as good as I could be. I'm less than I should be. I am not worthy. All of which are not true and are truly limiting beliefs in them being able to move forward in their own life.
A lot of that comes from being scolded in the classroom or being scolded at home. And I will be the first to say, it was very hard raising a very hyper child. He got yelled at. I have three kids, and he was the one who was yelled at the most. And looking back on it, so many times when I was scolding him, it was before a behavior that he had no control over. As you get older with ADHD, you do have the ability to think a little bit more on your toes. Self-regulate would be the term I would use, whereas a younger child really doesn't have that ability. But a lot of the lack of self-confidence or the negative feelings towards oneself when you have ADHD is probably because you were called out in front of a group of people. You did have the spotlight in your face. Why did you do that? Blah-bitty-blah. These poor kids don't know why they did it. They're as my son once told me, my brain told me to do it. And you know what? His brain did tell him to do it. Mark and I really want this to end. We want ADHD to be accepted. We want it to be understood. All anybody wants is to be seen, heard, and understood. As Oprah Winfrey said, people with ADHD want people to understand they didn't choose it, and that their brains are developing at a slower rate than a typical person. So if people could try and really understand that when a person with ADHD does something would seem irrational, it's because their brain didn't give them that pause to think about it before they did it, which is why it is a disorder, a self-regulation disorder.
And the last thing that we need to sort of talk about when it comes to the individual looking at themselves, again, this self-stigmatization, is to be in denial. So if what we're doing is our children or young adults or even ourselves, when we start to deny that we could have an issue, then we can't ever fix it. So we want to make sure that we walk this line between these limiting beliefs of we are not good enough, or we're stupid, or we're bad, and I'm absolutely perfect. I don't have anything wrong, and I am in denial, because then you don't believe that you need some of the help that's available through the medical professionals and coaches like ourselves that can help you literally explode into every bit of the genius and the life that you want.
So our ask, in order to really start to work on getting rid of this stigma on ADHD, is to start having discussions. Have discussions with your young adult or child. If you haven't already, if they don't quite understand what ADHD is, the best way to start getting rid of a stigma is knowledge. Knowledge is power. Mark and I say this all the time. We say it to our community. We say it to our clients that we individually coach. Knowledge is power. And as soon as a person with ADHD can understand that what they're experiencing, or what some of the behaviors that they have, or the lack of focus, or their struggles academically, whatever their experiences are connected to their ADHD, they can start to realize that they have some power over it as well. And they have the ability to educate others. You have the ability to educate others on ADHD.
And, you know, in some ways, the most important education is in your family. Being able to approach your parents, the child's grandparents, the aunts and uncles, the nephews.
The siblings.
The siblings. Exactly. Be able to tell them about ADHD. Be able to be proactive. To be firm but gentle in a discussion. And to make sure that we don't forget to include the child in that discussion. Now, certainly at some point, the child may not understand. But to tell them, it's okay, you're not broken. From the very start, there are things that, you know, your brain is just slightly different. You think a different way. And that's not a wrong way or a right way, it's just a different way. So that they grow up understanding that they're okay. And as they grow and they are able to understand, to comprehend what you're telling them, to make sure that you have that discussion so that they understand within themselves what having ADHD means. Not to give them an excuse, but to be in a position of empowering them and understanding so that they can look to help you to help them.
Absolutely. And also so they can understand, too, that they may have some trouble doing certain things. They may have to work a little bit harder or a lot harder than a typical child. And even more so, that's why it's important for the siblings, as soon as they're old enough to understand, that their brother or sister does have to work harder than they might. And to be a little bit more empathetic. I mean, the one thing this world could use is a little more empathy.
100%.
So all we want to say is that we are here supporting you. We have lived through it. We are working with clients and creating this community because we are passionate about people having a better understanding of what ADHD is and how we can support those who are, I'm going to say, suffering with ADHD, because honestly, it's a lifetime disorder. And it can improve over time with maturity, with knowledge. Again, knowledge is power. But it is still something that is a lifetime disorder, and people need to understand that anyone who has ADHD really, really just wants what everybody else wants, which again is to be seen, heard, and understood.
I couldn't agree more. So thank you. And we look forward to being back in front of the mic soon. Thanks for joining us today. We're here to support each of you in this community. We love hearing from you. Please send us your ideas for future podcasts, your questions, concerns, and the ADHD that you are facing, the ADHD issues, rather, that you're facing. You can find us, including a link to send us some comments at our website at twinlightscoaching.com. Help us serve this community better with your thoughts and your constructive suggestions.
Have a great day.